نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم اما بعد من تواضع لله رفعه الله when who humbles himself for the pleasure of Allah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate him. من تواضع لله رفعه الله. One who humbles himself for the pleasure of Allah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him honor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him respect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will compel other people to love him, honor him, and respect him and admire him. People will revere him. وَمَنْ تَكَبَّرَ And one who becomes proud, one who becomes arrogant, one who becomes haughty. وَضَعَهُ اللَّهُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will lower him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will disgrace him. When people will look at him, when people will observe him, they will not find any place for that person in their hearts. So one who humbles himself, that means one who becomes insignificant. One who humbles himself, one who becomes insignificant, Allah will raise his status and elevate him. Allah will make him significant. One who becomes insignificant, he doesn't want to come in the limelight. Not because he is shy, but because he wants to please his creator. He doesn't want fame. Not because he's shy. Not because he doesn't have the courage to face people or stand in front of the public. Because he wants to please his creator. He wants to remain unknown. The more famous you become, the more difficult it is to remain humble. Only the awliya, the very pious people, those who purify their souls from debasing qualities and adorn their souls with good qualities, only they can remain humble even after fame. Because fame is not something that every person can digest. So somebody whose soul is not purified from debasing qualities, he will not be able to digest fame. So this person knows that digesting fame is very difficult, so it's better I remain unknown. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was on her deathbed. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma knocks on the door and asks for permission to enter. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma was the cousin of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha was sister-in-law for him. So she was sister-in-law and she was also Ummul Mu'mineen. So she was the mother of the believers, so she was his mother also. So with the veil in between, the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alihi majmain used to visit Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha was the teacher of many of them. The Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alihi majmain used to benefit from Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Because she was very knowledgeable. And she would sometimes reprimand the likes of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu also. Regarding Umar radiallahu anhu, Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, the great Sahaba, she would say, Rahim Allah, may Allah have mercy on them. This is not what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. They have misunderstood. This is how powerful she was, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. So Islam has given great status to women also. In order to attain that status, all she has to do is become a good Muslim and good mu'mina. That is all she has to do. Allah will grant her status today as well. But that is a separate topic. The ladies should try to understand the status that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given them, the beautiful deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. I have a short compilation also, the status of women in Islam. Each Muslim sister should study that booklet to realize what status Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted her as a wife, as a sister, as a daughter, and as a mother. So Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was very knowledgeable and she had reached the peak of piety also. So ilm and amal both existed. Very pious lady. Complete tazkiyah. No debasing qualities in the heart. And pride and arrogance is the quality of the heart. It is a debasing quality. So if the debasing quality of pride and arrogance exists within my heart, then my outward humility and humbleness will be as a result of that pride. And it will not be for the pleasure of Allah, it will be for fame. That everybody will praise me. Oh, look at his humbleness. So in this hadith, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, one who humbles himself for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is referring to this quality of the heart, the good quality of the heart, tawadu, humbleness. Purify the heart from the debasing quality of pride and arrogance, kibr, and adorn the heart with the beautiful quality of tawadu, humbleness and humility. And when the heart is purified from the debasing quality of kibr, arrogance and pride, and it is adorned and decorated with the beautiful quality of humbleness, humility, then automatically from head to toe, people will be able to notice humbleness and humility in him. He will speak with humility, he will walk with humility. وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا. The very first quality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, the special servants of Rahman ta'ala. وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ, the special servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are their qualities? Quality number one, الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا, they walk on this earth very gently. That means humbleness and humility. And as a result of their humbleness, وَإِذَا خَاتَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ, if they come across ignorant people who desire to argue with them, قَالُوا سَلَامًا, they say, أَسَلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ, I'm a bit busy brother, I'll see you later. Because there is no pride. Why did he say this to me in front of everybody? I need to defend myself, my honor. I need to retaliate. What will people think? He didn't do anything. He couldn't do anything. Because of humbleness, وَإِذَا خَاتَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. As a result of humbleness, they walk gently on earth. They don't walk with haughtiness and pride. Gently. When somebody is coming, they will move away. They will give place, space to other people. And when they will meet rough people, people who will argue with them, people who are ignorant, who do not know how to behave, they will say, قَالُوا سَلَامًا, أَسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ. So he will avoid them, but he will avoid them whilst praying for them, أَسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ. قَالُوا سَلَامًا. The Quran does not say they will avoid them. The Quran says they will avoid them by saying assalamu alaikum. Or قَالُوا سَلَامًا, they will say peaceful words. They will not argue, they will not fight, they will not quarrel. And as a result of humbleness, وَالَّذِينَ يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا. They spend their nights in sajda and qiyam. وَالَّذِينَ يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ, they spend their nights in sajda and qiyam, in sujood and qiyam. So in tahajjud, they spend their entire night or majority part of the night, most part of the night in ibadah. But because they are very humble, so after tahajjud, when they raise their hands in the court of Allah, what do they say? O Allah, give me Jannah. Out of pride that I have done something tonight. وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا صِرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمْ. O our Rabb, remove the punishment of Jahannam from us. O Allah, save me from the punishment of, because I have not been able to fulfill your right, despite performing tahajjud throughout the night. إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُونَ. The muttaqeen, the pious people, the God-fearing people, those who carry out all the do's of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and abstain from the don'ts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, related to their outer life and related to their inner self. Where will they be? Fi jannatin wa uyun. They will be in the gardens of paradise, where streams will be flowing, rivers will be flowing. آخِذِينَ مَا آتَاهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ. They will be taking what Allah is giving them. Why? إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا قَبْلَ ذَلِكَ مُحْسِنِينَ. Because before this time, they were muhsin. Before this time, they were muhsin. And the literal meaning of muhsin is the person who does good. So before this time, that means before the akhirah in the world, they were continually doing good. And the technical term of muhsin is one whose soul is purified. So before the Akhirat, when they were in the world, they had purified their soul, and as a result of soul purification, whatever they did was always good, and whatever they said was always good. And from amongst the good things that they did in the world was, كَانُوا قَلِيلًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ مَا يَهْجَعُونَ. They would sleep very little at night. Why? Because they would perform tahajjud and remember their creator. كَانُوا قَلِيلًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ مَا يَهْجَعُونَ. They would sleep very little at night. The entire night they would spend in ibadah. But what would happen at the time of suhoor? وَبِلَسْحَارِهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. Out of humbleness, at the time of suhoor, they would make istighfar. Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, forgive me. I was not able to fulfill the right of your ibadah. Because our hearts are not pure from this debasing quality of kibr. We perform 2 rakat, 4 rakat in 5 minutes, and we feel good and proud that I have performed tahajjud today. And we start asking so many things from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thinking that I deserve everything because I have performed these 4 rakats. May Allah grant us all this quality of humbleness, humility. And it will come. If we take the right course of tazkiyah, purification of the soul. If a person desires to become a hafiz of the Quran, he can become hafiz of the Quran, as long as he takes the right course. If a person wants to become an alim, he can become an alim, even at the age of 30, 40, 50, 60. I know a person who became an alim at the age of 70 or 80. 70 is definite. So tazkiyah is necessary. Because without tazkiyah, a person cannot carry out the do's and cannot abstain from the don'ts, especially related to the heart. And if it is compulsory, then Allah must have prepared a course for us, as a result of which we can acquire tazkiyah. So Aisha radiallahu anha is on her deathbed. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu comes to visit her. He knocks on the door. The sunnah method is, in those times, the doors used to remain open. Even nowadays in Afghanistan, Pakistan, India, in villages, the doors remain open. And those who follow Sharia, they take permission and go in. And those who don't follow Sharia, they just go in. So the method was, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, adkhul. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, can I enter? Do I have leave to enter? If the permission is granted, you enter. If the permission is not granted, after a minute or so, you say again, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, adkhul. If permission is granted, you enter. If permission is not granted, you ask the third time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, adkhul. If permission is granted, you enter. If permission is not granted, after the third time, you leave. And in this country where the doors are locked, you knock once, moderately. In such a way that if the person is awake, he will be able to hear, and if he is asleep, you will not wake him up. That is how you knock. If the door is open, then you say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, may I come in? You don't just barge through the door. If the door does not open, you knock on the door or press the bell a second time, moderately. If the door doesn't open, you do it a third time. And if it doesn't open after the third time, then you leave. The person who is in the house, even if he is awake, it is not compulsory for him to open the door if somebody knocks at his door. You don't peep through the window. You don't peep through the letterbox. It is impermissible. And you don't knock so much that somebody who is sleeping wakes up. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he asked for permission. Aisha radiallahu anha recognized that it is Ibn Abbas. Maybe him, to make it easy, he may have said, "I am Ibn Abbas, can I enter?" Or from the voice she may have recognized him. So her nephew Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu anhu was with her, Asma and Aisha radiallahu anhum. They are both sisters, daughter of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Aisha radiallahu anhu was married to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Asma radiallahu anhu was married to Zubair ibn Awam radiallahu anhu. A very great sahabi. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave glad tidings of Jannah in this very world for him, Zubair. So his son Abdullah ibn Zubair, he was also a great sahabi. So Abdullah ibn Zubair was with her aunt. So she looked at Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu anhu and she said, "It is Ibn Abbas. It is Ibn Abbas." Indicating that, "Should I give him permission to enter?" So Abdullah ibn Zubair indicated that, "Yes, you should give him permission to enter. Because you are unwell, he has come to meet you, it is sunnah, riyadah. If there is no fear of falling into any sin, sin of the eyes, sin of the heart, then a man can also visit a woman if she is unwell." There was no possibility here. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu was a sahabi, Aisha was a sahabi. She was Ummul Mumineen, mother of all the believers. So she said, "I fear that if Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma enters this house, he will begin to praise me." Allahu Akbar. This is what they fear. And I might lose my humbleness and become a victim of pride. This is my fear. That is why I am a bit reluctant. Because he reveres me, he honors me. Because I am Ummul Mumineen. I am the wife of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he is the cousin of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "Ummul Mumineen, who my aunt, he is from the respectable people of the Muslim community. He is a great alim. He is a mufassir. And he is also the cousin of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So please give him permission to enter. It will not be nice to say no to him." So he entered. "Assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum assalam." And the first question he asked was, "How are you, Ummul Mumineen?" She is on this side of the veil and he is on this side of the veil. "How are you, Ummul Mumineen?" So the reply Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha gave was, she was in her final moments. So she was very unwell. But the answer she gave was, "Bi khayrin inittaqaytullah. If I have the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then I am with khair." She did not talk about her physical illness, that "I am unwell, I am experiencing pain,
I have become very frail, I have become very weak. She was talking about her inner self. If my inner health is good, if my heart is adorned with taqwa, then bi khair, then I am bi khair. That means if I do not have taqwa, then I am not bi khair. And that Allah will decide. That Allah will decide. Only Allah knows the condition. We can figure out roughly which direction we are going into, but the final decision Allah will take. Because in the Quran Allah says, لَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not purify yourselves. That means do not tell people, I am like this and I am like that. I am so pious and I am so good and I am so generous and I am so knowledgeable. لَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. He is more aware of that person who has taqwa. Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, when he heard Aisha radiyallahu anha saying that if I have taqwa, then I am with khair. That means she was concerned that I may not have the desired taqwa as a result of which Allah will forgive me. This was the fear. So he started comforting her, consoling her. And in order to console her, he started praising her. Then why do you fear so much? You are like this and you are like this and you are like this and you are like this. You are the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and this is your virtue and this is your virtue and this is your virtue. After that, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu left. So Aisha radiallahu anha looked at Abdullah ibn Zubair and she said, this is what I feared. This is what I feared. And she repeated the words that Hazrat Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam said when she gave birth to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Ya laytani mittu qabla hadha wa kuntu nasiyam mansiya. I wish I had died before conceiving Isa and giving birth to him. And I wish I was forgotten by everybody. That Maryam existed, nobody knew. Because how will I face this humiliation now? That is what Maryam alayhi salam said. So part of this sentence, Aisha radiallahu anha said, Ya laytani kuntu nasiyam mansiya. Her desire was not that people praise me and I become famous and my statue is erected after I die and my legacy remains. Ya laytani kuntu nasiyam mansiya. I wish I was a forgotten person. I wish nobody talked about me and nobody praised me. This is the real humility. Humility. When humility enters the heart, what does the person feel? The person feels that I am below everybody and everybody else is above me. When the good trait of humbleness enters the heart, how does a person feel? Everybody is better than me and I am inferior. Everybody is superior, I am inferior. He is better than me, 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 he is better than me. And if it is the opposite, the debasing quality of kibr, pride and arrogance is within the heart, then the person will feel, I am superior and everybody else is inferior. I am superior and everybody else is inferior. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once asked, that what is kibra? How will a person know whether he has this debasing quality of kibra within his heart or not? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the sign is, Matarul haq wa ghamtun nas. These are the two signs. A person will reject haq. So if Maulana Sayyid Sahib was to have an academic discussion with me on a particular issue, and after 5 minutes, 10 minutes of discussion, I have realized that I was wrong and he is right. Now, if I have humbleness in me, I will say, Maulana, Jazakallah. Jazakallah. Jazakallah for this 5-10 minute discussion. I have realized that I was mistaken. Jazakallah. I have learned a lot from you. He will accept his mistake. If tawazu is here. If tawazu is not here and takabbur is there, despite realizing that he is on haq and I am wrong, he will continue to defend himself. Now, as far as the gathering is concerned, they don't know who is right and who is wrong. And even if they reach a conclusion that is, Maulana Sayyid is right and I am wrong, but you will assume that I am actually thinking that I am still right, that's why I am arguing. But I know inside what I am thinking. So you will not be able to detect my kibr, but I will be able to detect it very easily. Because I know that I have realized that Maulana is right and I am wrong, despite that I am defending myself. This is one way of finding out whether you have kibr or not. And second method, وَغَمْتُ النَّاسِ, to look down upon people. Look down upon people. He is inferior, he is inferior, he is inferior. Or he is superior, but he is inferior. He is superior, he is superior, he is inferior, he is inferior, he is inferior. So when a person feels that he is inferior, Allah will make him superior in the eyes of the people. And when a person feels that he is superior, Allah will make him inferior in the eyes of the people. Maybe because of his influence and maybe because of his standing in the community, people will not say anything to him on his face. But in their hearts, they will have no respect for him. Amongst themselves, they will talk bad about him, without him even realizing. So when a person annihilates himself, not only becomes insignificant, but he annihilates himself, as if he doesn't exist. You are given place here, 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 no problem. That is the level of humility and humbleness people reach. It's like when we are coming out from Haram Sharif during Hajj time, in the rush. How do we feel at that time? Nothing. If somebody says to us, you go first, brother, Alhamdulillah. And if he goes first, Alhamdulillah. If somebody pushes us, Alhamdulillah. We don't feel, why? I am being a... But when we are back in Leicester, he is my musalli, I am his imam, and he did not even say, you first. The feeling that we experience when we are coming out of the Haram Sharif in that rush, or when we are in Tawaf, surrounded by all strange people, and however people treat us, whatever treatment they give us, we have no objection. If our condition becomes like that when we are at home as well, then that is a sign that we have got the good trait of humbleness and humility. But no, when we are at home, me. In Arabic, me is ana. What did Firaun say? Ana rabbukumul ala. And what did Shaitan say? Ana khayrum minhu. Ana, me, I. So one pious person said, mere dil ka koi taqaza nahi hai میں اپنی انا کی فنا چاہتا ہوں.
لین اردو
میرے دل کا کوئی تقاضا نہیں ہے. My heart has no desire whatsoever. There is only one desire. میں اپنی انا کی فنا چاہتا ہوں. I want to annihilate that. That shouldn't come in my mind. میرے دل کا کوئی تقاضا نہیں ہے, میں اپنی انا کی فنا چاہتا ہوں.
My late شیخ and late mentor حاجی محمد فاروق صاحب رحمہ اللہ تعالی used to say,
مٹانا کیا ہے, پانا ہے. What is annihilating yourself? Acquiring everything. If you annihilate yourself, if you become humble, if you acquire the quality of humility where you feel, I am good for nothing, everybody is better than me, alhamdulillah. مٹانا کیا ہے, پانا ہے. What is annihilating yourself? Acquiring everything. Then Allah will give you everything. Allah will give you the status. And then He would ask, پانا کیا ہے, مٹانا ہے. How do you acquire everything? By annihilating yourself. من تواضع للہ رفعہ اللہ. One who becomes humble, one who becomes insignificant for the pleasure of Allah, رفعہ اللہ. When this becomes the quality of the heart, then it will automatically be for Allah. Allah will make him significant. وَمَن تَكَبَّرَ, and one who becomes arrogant, one who feels that I have some significance, وَزَعَهُ اللَّهُ, Allah will make him insignificant in the eyes of the people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. And in order to purify the soul, we have to go through the process of tazkiyah. And for tazkiyah, mujahada is necessary. Tazkiyah. If we want to clean something, you scrub it very hard. The more harder you scrub, the more it will shine. Marble, to make the marble shine, they use machine and scrub the marble with machinery. The more harder you scrub, the more it will shine. In order to acquire tazkiyah, we have to scrub. Scrub, scrub. How do we scrub? Through forcing ourselves to carry out the commands of Allah. That is the scrubbing. That is mujahada. So mujahada will result in tazkiyah. And how are we able to do mujahada? How can mujahada become easy? By adopting the company of the pious people, abstaining from wrong company, by staying in good environment, abstaining from wrong environment, and by staying away from wrong company and adopting the company of the pious, especially one sheikh, the more the better. And excessive zikr. So we learn our zikr from our shaykh and slowly, slowly, slowly progress until the heart and mind is thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Excessive zikr. Tu koi itna mita ke tu na rahe. Teri hasti ka rang bu na rahe. Tu koi itna mita ke tu na rahe. Annihilate I so much that I does not remain. In your heart and mind that I am something. Teri hasti ka rang bu na rahe. Even the smell and the color of your existence should not remain. That means this, what is in your heart, that I am something. And how will that happen? Excessive zikr. The zikr overpowers all the conditions of your heart. Hu mein itna kamal paida kar. Acquire that much excellence, that level of excellence in zikr. Who means Allah. Acquire that level of zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ہوں میں اتنا کمال پیدا کر کہ ہوں تو رہے تو نہ رہے. در اللہ ول ریمین ان یور ہارٹ بٹ آئی ایم ول ناٹ ریمین. آئی ول اینڈ ٹو ڈے اسٹوک ود دی دعا آف اور بلوڈ نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم وچ ایوری بڈی شوڈ لرن اف ناٹ ان عربک دین ان انگلش اردو. اللہم اجعلنی صغیرا فی عینی. او اللہ میک می اسمال اینڈ انسگنیفیکنٹ ان مائی آئیز سو آئی ول آلویز ریمین ہمبل و کبیر فی آئیون الناس بٹ میک می بگ اینڈ سگنیفیکنٹ ان دی آئیز آف دا پیپل. سو میک می ہمبل بٹ گرانٹ می آنر. پیپل شوڈ سی می ایز این آنربل پرسن بیکاز ٹو سیف گارڈ یور آنر اینڈ عزت از فرض. A person should not drop to that level where he loses his honor. So you say to Allah that, O Allah, in my heart, make me feel that I am not worthy of the respect that people are giving me, but make them, let them give me that respect. So keep me honorable in the eyes of the people, but within my heart, keep me humble. Allahumma jalni saghiran fi aini wa kabiran fi aini. امین کہو بھائی. اللهم اجعلني صغيرا في عيني وكبيرا في عيوني. امين. اللہ سب کے سول امین. اللہ سبحانه وتعالى پیوریفائی اور سول گرانٹ اس سکسس ان تزکیہ. امین. امین اللہ میک دی ہول پروسیس ایزی فار اس. امین. اینڈ وین وی ڈیپارٹ فرام دس ورلڈ می اللہ سبحانه وتعالى میک اس ڈیپارٹ وائلز اور ہارٹس ار پیور فرام اول ڈیبیسنگ کوالٹیز. And our hearts are adorned with all the good qualities. And we leave this world as not only awliya, but awliya who have reached the highest status of wilayah, which is siddiqiyah. We depart from this world as siddiqin. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant this to our parents, our wives, our children, our brothers, our sisters, all our associates, our in-laws, all our friends, our well-wishers. And may Allah grant it to our progeny to come until the day of Qiyamah. And may Allah grant this ni'mat to the whole Ummah. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.